Saturday, October 15th, another beautiful fall day in Boston, and the Occupy site down in Dewey Square was filled with hundreds of people, supporters and the curious alike. Now entering its third week, the encampment was abuzz with excitement, the odd mixture of festival and serious political action. It was the place to be for a Saturday afternoon. Judy Schwartz, a longtime community radio producer in Boston, was among the curious.
It's my first time here. I wanted to check it out. I was told by some of my fellow radio people that I should come check it out. And it's interesting.
It is. So first impressions?
I think there's more infrastructure than I was expecting, to tell you the truth. Less chaotic than I was expecting, even though it does have an element of chaos, less than I would have expected. It seems like things really are under pretty good control. Also, large. All those tents, bumper-to-bumper tents. I wasn't quite expecting that. Mm-hmm. Really, it's quite a phenomenon. I've been following it on, like, the live feeds and all the news feeds, and I heard your bit that you posted up the other day. Interesting. But to come here and see this, it's interesting. I wish I'd come earlier, but that's fine. I'm glad I'm here today.
You're here today, and now you'll come again later.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'd like to maybe come during some of the downtime and talk more to the people that are really working hard to create this environment. And I feel a little like a tourist, like I'm sure many people here are, you know, we're checking it out and seeing what it is. And yet the vibe is nice. It's not like damn tourists. It's nice.
By pure chance, I wound up bumping into my former radio colleague and host of WMBR's What's Left, Linda P.
We're here together at this moment.
That's pretty funny.
Until the next moment. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. I've been here for about an hour, wandering around, gathering sounds, and I thought there was supposed to be a presentation by Julie back here, but that does not seem to be.
Just done. Now there's going to be another one.
It just ended?
Else. Yes. 2:30 to 3:30.
Oh, I thought it was 3:30 it started.
No, 3:30 is another one.
Oh.
And now there's another march.
Yeah, I heard that too.
The students are marching.
So I was here at 2:30. I was just down there. You know, I figured, oh, I got some time to come and just wander around down here and get stuff here. But
well, I was down there too. That was quite interesting. The anti-war march and rally was good.
Yes.
A lot of people there.
And there's a lot of people here.
A lot of people here.
A lot of people here, there, and everywhere. Although a couple of hundred occupiers went off on yet another march, the second of the day, the encampment was still quite crowded. The anti-war rally Linda referred to featured a fiery speech by Safia Albaidi of the International Socialist Organization. She was speaking from the back of a pickup truck with a built-in sound system. The truck was surrounded by flag-waving members of Veterans for Peace, many of whom were on the front lines during the police arrests just a few days earlier.
We're here today because these horrors did not end when George Bush and his cronies got out of office. We're here today because the Democrats refused to end the wars and refused to end the slaughter when they earned a supermajority in 2006 and the White House in 2008. I mean, where is the condemnation of Mayors Menino and Bloomberg? When they bludgeon our brothers and sisters at Occupy Wall Street, or they arrest 100 of our brothers and sisters last Monday for doing nothing so much as just stepping on grass, where was the condemnation? Why is democracy not defended here in this country? Why is the highest politician in office not standing up for people here? Because we are the 99%. And in the midst of this amazing movement that has spread to over 100 cities in this country, why is the government saber-rattling for war in Iran? What does that have to do with anything? When it knows there is a political crisis in this country that it will not face, it will not stand up to the 99% when they tell them, we are here and we're not going to be moved, and we demand that you hear us. Where is the government?
A rousing speech by Safia Albaidi. Meanwhile, at the other end of the encampment, it was the people's mic that was used to amplify political speech.
Tomorrow.
October 16th
is World Food Day. from?
How many of you know where your food comes from?
How many of you grow food?
How many of you grow food?
A $2 package of seeds?
A $2 package of seeds?
A little bit of dirt?
A little bit of dirt?
And you're feeding yourselves?
And you're feeding yourselves?
And you're doing a?
And you're doing a?
Revolutionary action!
Revolutionary action!
Why?
Why?
Because!
Because!
Large corporate agribiz!
Large corporate agribiz!
Doesn't want this to happen!
Doesn't want this to happen!
Tomorrow!
Tomorrow!
It's millions!
It's millions!
Against!
Against!
Monsanto!
Monsanto!
Why Monsanto?
Why Monsanto?
Who's ever heard of?
Who's ever heard of?
G?
G?
M?
M?
O's?
O's?
That's genetically modified organisms!
That's genetically modified organisms!
90%!
90%!
Of the food!
Of the food!
You!
You!
And I!
And I!
And all of us!
And all of us!
Eat!
Eat!
Is
filled with genetically modified
corn,
corn,
soy,
soy,
wheat,
wheat,
and now alfalfa.
And now alfalfa.
Is that enough?
Is that enough?
To get you a little bit upset?
To get you a little bit upset?
Yeah.
That was Ellen, an activist for Safe Food. After her talk, she and a few other volunteers were busy making posters about GMOs. I asked her about her activism.
Yeah, I actually run a nonprofit that does education about the dangers of herbicides and pesticides. And we're called the Leah Collective, the Leah Ag Advocacy Group. We used to play really nice by the rules, and we tried working on some laws in New Hampshire just to get pesticides off school properties. We came in with all the experts, all the doctors from Harvard, all the pages like 3 inches thick of research. But the pesticide industry came in with the deep pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm outraged because the children of New Hampshire, the children of Massachusetts, everybody is getting screwed with this genetically modified food and all kinds of things. So it's very upsetting.
John Spritzler was sharing his ideas about how this movement can change the world through democratic revolution.
By revolution, what I mean is removing from power the corporate elite that runs society today with values that most people do not share, and creating a society based on the values that most people today do share, by which I mean equality, concern for one another, sometimes called mutual aid or solidarity, and doing things democratically, which means taking into account how other people feel and being considerate of their views. These are the values that most Americans share. But to make them shape society means we have to remove from power the corporate elite with the opposite values that are ruling this country today.
And your writings are online. You want to give the website?
The website is newdemocracyworld.org.
Newdemocracyworld.org. Well, thank you, John. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
James Williamson is well known to any activist in the Boston area. He's worked on social justice issues for decades.
There's an openness about it that's part of what's going on here. It's like a free market of ideas and communication, unlike anything that's hypocritically touted in the corporate media or the false notion of a so-called free market that we know is a lie, where the rich arrange to get their own banks bailed out with our money. This is like a genuine expression of freedom of assembly, freedom of exchange of ideas. There are workshops here, there are lectures being organized here. There are these impromptu speaking opportunities. John Carlos was here yesterday. John Carlos is the one who, in that famous picture at the Mexico City Olympics in 1968, who got on the platform. He won a bronze medal, and he was there with Tommy Smith, who got the gold, and the two of them took off their shoes, they had black socks, and they raised their fists in solidarity with the struggle of Black America in particular, and of liberation in general. And he came here yesterday, so people had a chance to meet John Carlos, he had a chance to be here, and why wouldn't somebody want to come here and visit here and be part of this?
Exactly. It's the place to be in Boston these days.
I would think so.
I asked Tim Howe, who has been camping in Dewey Square since the first day and has been a regular feature of these radio reports, how he fared during the two previous days of rain.
And the fad.
It was extremely wet. My tent and many of my possessions got very soaked. You know, everybody here got soaked together, and we all sort of woke up in the morning and wrung ourselves out and got back to spreading the good word.
You were on a march most of the day. Even with 100 or so people going on a march, this place is mobbed.
Really? Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a great march. You know, there was so many people, and there were just people joining us off the sidewalk. I talked to some guy who said that he was out on Newbury Street looking at art galleries and saw the march and decided that he wanted to join us because he's been unemployed for 2 years, and his unemployment ends this week.
Well, nothing like picking up those spectators.
Yeah, you know, it's great. You know, the more times we march, the more momentum we pick up.
Emperor Norton's stationary marching band came down to play in the plaza, adding to some of the festive atmosphere. Noted that earlier in the day before I arrived, Governor Deval Patrick made an unannounced appearance. He did not come down with an entourage or try to address the crowd, but rather showed up in street clothes and a baseball cap. He talked with some of the occupiers and said he came down to hear what they had to say. It would be nice if more of our elected officials took such an initiative to come down and talk to their constituents, rather than just listen to their funders. From Dewey Square in Boston, I am Chuck Urizina for the Boston Community Radio Project with an ongoing series of reports from the Occupy Boston site.